This time of year, that's something to think about. Anyway, Jennifer Hedgecock, Battered by Rules. In the city, during late February, she avoided looking into the desperate and deranged faces of homeless men and women she passed down the street. Her hair was long then, but worn in a tight twist. She dressed in wide-legged slacks, cotton shirts. She had an office job at the Embarcadero, showing up for work an hour early, streetlights dimly guiding the way of pedestrians. Getting to work involved a certain ritual. Starting at 4 a.m. with no electricity, getting to work involved a single alarm on her wristwatch. The building where she squatted was 10 short blocks from work. For a while, she relied on a gym membership to shower in the mornings, but it closed a few months ago, and now she uses sinks at Carl's Jr., open 24 hours, washing her face under her arms, sometimes her feet, depending on how black they were. She learned how to pack light and picked up her paycheck, giving her parents' old address to open a savings account. A coworker last week asked if she wanted to have dinner some night. She smiled. "I'm in between homes right now, maybe when I get settled in." Then, almost paralyzed, she watched him walk away, rather stiffly, not like her old boyfriend, whose physical movement was of a true athlete, a boxer, a real fighter, moving on his feet without effort. She missed his tough glare and his words before his last fight, when he never got up, staring empty and upward in the ring. At the copy machine, the buzzing noise put her in a trance until the machine jammed and her boss, standing behind her, picked up the stack of handouts. "Look at this mess. I ask you to do one simple task. Can you do anything without screwing it up?" "I'm sorry." Her face flushed, and turning away in a practiced, nuanced walk, she headed back to her cubicle. Matt's high-pitched voice loud on the phone behind her, Karen heading right up to her desk, a thick binder under her arm. "What do you have for me?" "I need all these containers traced before the end of the day. I'm not sure I will be able to get to all of them." "Today. Make sure it happens today." She was supposed to see about a studio apartment where she could bathe and eat, where her dates could pick her up at home. The appointment was at 6. It was dark outside when she left the office, people in mid-conversation bustling along California Street, taxis whizzing down Market. The landlord told her the studio was no longer available, even though she had made the appointment. Karen's binder laid open on her desk with a quarter more to finish. It can be finished tomorrow if she came in early. If her wristwatch worked, the quarter hand 15 minutes behind. Though it needed a new battery, she skipped lunch instead of replacing it so she could track all those containers. Pausing in front of a store window, she gazed at her reflection, lit up from headlights of cars, hardly recognizing who she was. Holding her head up, she straightened her spine, shooting up to the sky. "It's where you are going that counts," she thought. "It's heading up the street to the Tenderloin, crashing for the night, picking up fresh clothes stored in her locker near the Civic Center." It was looking for another studio to rent, looking for another job where she might make extra money, or knowing she had a college degree and didn't have to be here forever. It was being strong and tough and walking home and breathing in the smell of the city, hearing the clamor of street noise. Thank you.